Well, I thought you needed more jokes today. So I went into the vault. This is what I came up with. Yesterday I saw an ad that said, radio for sale $1, volume stuck on full. I thought to myself, I can't turn that down. Remember, you're only young once, but you can be immature forever. Old people at weddings always poke me and say, you're next. So I've started doing the same thing to them at funerals. And finally, many of you know this one. A good woman must be able to clean, cook, dig worms, and clean fish. Must have a boat and motor. Please send a picture of the boat and motor. All right. Let's go on to our announcements for this week. First of all, and you can see on your screen, we have a number of things we need to update you on. Phil, I think you wanted to start, but we'll give an update on the week's events. Come on up, Phil. End of next year.
Next year. And I'm going to have to think for 2021 because I want to get out of 2020. And what we discussed was somehow we want to honor this man. And we thought of a picture that we could put on the wall. That got voted down real quick.
Retires. I like the word retires versus departs. If that's okay. And just, I would just.
John leaves this position. We're hoping to bless him. So what we're going to do is, until time is leaving this place, if you would like to contribute to that, feel free to. Add it to your weekly envelope and write on the inside of it RSP and whatever you want. You can do it once. You can do it, I think we have about 60 or so weeks left. You can do it 60 installments. You can do it monthly. You can do it whatever you want. But please honor this man. Thank you.
Well, that's. I don't think I've ever had a bearded man talk, or a masked man talk to me so nicely as you have. Thanks, Phil.
And ask for money.
And ask for money. Yeah, yeah, ask for money. Okay, let's, Richard, let's go through the announcements because we have a number of them we want to make sure you're aware of. First of all, Monday night ASL class, our sign language class series continues for all of you that are involved in that. I believe it's 7 till 9. Men, we're not meeting this Tuesday, but please speak to Richard. He will give you an update and want to talk to you about what we're going to be doing as we head into the winter. Ladies, don't forget you're here at 10 in the morning on Wednesday and your study time together. And then Thursday night, of course, we're here for our study night, and you're always invited, and we have a great time on Thursday night, starting at 7 o'clock. Also want to let you know that on Mondays, our prayer group that used to pray Saturday nights are now praying here at the church at 2 o'clock. So if you'd like to be a part of that, come on out and join our coordinators, Grace and Jim. As far as Samaritan's Purse, and you should have gotten your boxes. Sorry. What did I say? I said 2 o'clock on Monday. It affects everybody wearing masks. It affects us all in different ways. So I totally get it. Donna, we're good. So Samaritan's Purse. So Carl, why don't you come up? Carl, of course, is our coordinator this year for Samaritan's Purse, and he's going to give you some updates of information.
Just what I'd like to say, first of all, is that thank you all who are packing shoeboxes for the kids all around the world. Samaritan's Purse, they send so many. It's incredible. Now, as far as we're concerned, we still have boxes. If you want them, they're in the, sitting on the table in the back underneath the mailboxes. When you bring your boxes in, we're storing them over here in the kitchen. On Saturday, the 14th of November, we are having a box, the big container boxes, packing day. We aren't going to need maybe 3 or 4, maybe 5 people. Jim was so kind last year to use his van to move the boxes over to Faith. The boxes have to be delivered to Faith on the Monday, the 16th, between 10 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon. So if you need to get your boxes in, please get them in before Friday the 13th, or bring them here on Saturday morning the 14th. Thank you very much.
Good. Okay, and thanks, Carl, for all you're doing. Like you said, there are more boxes if you want them, and give Carl a call if you need to. All right, a couple of updates. We have our annual general meeting now is going to be on the last Sunday of November. We'll have it briefly after church on Sunday, just to give everybody an update with this COVID thing. Everything's been delayed. And those of you that have reports, please get them in to Linda as quickly as possible. And board, don't forget your meeting on the 22nd after the service. And did you all notice the new concrete pad when you came in? Beautiful. And if you get a chance, give Bob a call and tell him he did a great job organizing all of that. Our next job is we're getting all the trees cut down here on the north parking lot, the big trees. So that should be in the next week or so. But it sure has made a difference. And so, Sheila, to you and for everything that you did help coordinate all that, thank you. We've got Christelle and Tim here today, and they've just moved down from Huntsville. So they're welcome to the Banana Belt. Tim's in construction here, and they're looking for a place to rent. So if you've got any ideas that would be under, say, $6,000 a month, would that work? Preferably a lot. Anyway, please say hello to both of them. And so let's all try to congregate with 6 feet apart on our new pad, eh? Let's try that. Okay. All right. We've got some birthdays. We've got quite a few folks with birthdays. So, Richard, if you'll put those up for us. So Leanne has a birthday, and Renee has a birthday, Cavell on the 3rd, and Mark Bailey on the 4th. And then Deanna, happy birthday for you on the 6th. Happy 39th. The Lord bless you. At this point, we're just loving 39. I hear you. And Susan Hawley has a birthday. We don't have any anniversaries, so those are our birthday people. So please wish them a happy birthday and give them a shout. All right, let's open with a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity we have to be able to come and worship you and bless your name. Lord, these days are busy, and now as the days get colder and darker, it's easy to get discouraged. And so, Father, may today, as we sing together, as we worship you together, as we study your word, may all of this serve to encourage us, to remind us you're a great God and you're doing great things. And so, Lord, we just bless you now. And just ask your blessing on every part of the service. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Team, would you come, please?
What a glorious day to be in the house of the Lord. Great day. You all remain seated as we sing. We won't make you stand and sit too many times today. Move the stuff around. Thanks. There we are. Ready.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. My heart, shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. ashore, there in God's mansion sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory.
This eye, and I said, Judy has a wicked left hook. For those of you who really want to know, I was under my tractor. I have a lawn tractor. I was trying to fix it, and I got under there, and I guess I was down there too long. When I got up, it popped a little vessel in there, and that was Thursday. It's getting, I think, it's getting, is it looking better?
No.
Well, it's because of amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. sending us your Son. Thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to be with us and in us and here today. We offer you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for what you're doing. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
Thank you, team. You know, I have to say, over these weeks, I've enjoyed all the different folks that have been helping us with music. And Irmgard, thanks for coordinating everything. Carl, thanks for leading us today. It's just terrific. And I just want to have greeting time. I want to be able to give you all a hug. We've got to get that. Let's start praying we get greeting time back. Yeah, okay, Ted, we're ready to go. Here we go. All right, let's take some notes of praise this morning. What's the Lord done for you this week? Who wants to go first? Give us an update. Doug, why don't you give us an update?
I want to thank you, Jane, and Becca for coming out yesterday and giving us an awesome hand chopping wood. Jane pushing us hard. You guys are just a blessing. Thank you.
Well, you know, ministry's neat. I've never run a wood splitter before, but I'll tell you, what a feeling of power. You know, have you had some days this past week where you just want to break something? Like, I want to throw dishes on the floor, I want to pound something. I got that spreader, and I'm putting those logs, and I go, suck it up, baby. Here we go. Christmas. You know, and we were heaving it up, and that was for the Tojo's campground. That's for all the wood for next year. And so I was talking, Jane was talking to Deanne, and she said, because we had probably, what would you say, gang, about three times the size of the stage full of wood, like up as high as you can reach.
It was probably 6 quart we did.
Is that what we did? Anyway, so Jane asked Deanne, he said, now, if you had a wood-burning house, how long, you know, would it take? Would you? She said, oh, you'd need two of these.
Yes.
Is that what you had, Joan, when you were? Just wood, burn.
Yes.
Yeah. If I had my way and I was still in those days, I'd have a chute made from a tree. Go right to the fireplace. I can't imagine having to carry that in three or four times a day. You know, I just go flick a switch and on comes the furnace. Oh, I tell you, it gave a whole new appreciation. So if you want to try a wood splitter, Doug and Deanne have one. If you want to go out there and just pound some logs, feel free. They're open to help anytime. So it was a lot of fun. First thing Becca said to me this morning is, Dad, are you hurting?
Because I am.
Yeah. Oh, no, honey, I'm great. I'm doing really well. All right, let's take some other notes of praise. And by the way, you're welcome. I enjoyed it. Thank you. Other notes of praise, what have you all been doing this week? Shauna? Yes. Friend died of cancer?
Diabetes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we will definitely pray. Yes, Audrey. Yes. So he died too. For those of you who don't know that, Audrey's friends, your cousins, were in a car accident in Chicago, and the wife died instantly, and then he just died this week. And they were back from the mission field, so they're back. They were in doing mission work. They were ministers. And so it's been a big loss for them. For them, family. So we need to pray for the whole family. Yeah. Norm?
Sam Langland died. He just found out yesterday. And he was out in the yard and the tree fell on him.
Yes. He died last Friday.
Wow.
Yes. Sam Langman, many of you don't know, but Luke Langman is in charge of the worship team at Faith Missionary. Mm-hmm. They're his son. So Sam, very, very strong Christian. A real pillar in Elmvale, and did a lot with the Food Grains Bank. Did a lot. He was a farmer, and of course, he did a lot for them. And so, he's going to be really missed. Yep. And you know, it's funny. There's a lot of situations now where people are just they're stepping off the earth, like so unpredicted, and yet they're going into glory. You know, and we miss them. But I think they're up there. They're walking and leaping and jumping and cheering and oh. Sometimes I'm envious. I go, it looks like you're having a good time up there, I'll bet. But anyway, so we will pray for the Langman family. Thanks, Norm. Okay, let's have some notes of praise. Can we have some notes of praise? Yes, Christelle. Oh, wow. Oh, cool. So they want to purchase it, and then they want to put it online?
Yeah, they want to buy my artwork.
Oh, T-shirts, everything. Some point, say hello to Christelle, because you're going to want to know her. She's going to be well known in the days to come. You're going to want to say, I know her. Anyway, congratulations. Yeah. And so we'll pray that everything continues to work. So you just got the job recently then?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. That's really neat. Congratulations. Good. All right. Other notes of praise. Donna. Yes.
He had his surgery on Friday, and I apologize. It wasn't an open heart surgery. It was, he had a lot of no flow of anything in his body.
Circulation issue.
Circulation.
Yeah, okay.
So he came through the surgery great. He didn't have to be put on a ventilator.
Oh, good. All right.
And both of those people are Christians. And Bruce's family is in need of prayer. He was talking to his sister, his older sister, Dorothy.
Okay.
And he has a brother and a sister who has lung cancer. He has, the Dorothy that he was talking to, she has a lot of arthritis in her knees. And one neck. He's on dialysis twice a week, three times a week, and the other nephew has Crohn's and has surgery this week. That's what she said, so Bruce had an opportunity to tell her.
Yes. So did you tell Dorothy that they're all having a hell of a time, and when it's over, they're going to have a hell of a time? No, you might want to consider that. I mean, you can be more tactful. But joking aside, you know, where would we be without the Lord? You know, I don't think I'd be alive if it wasn't for the Lord. And you, yeah, I think a lot of us would be dead because of things that had happened and the Lord's protection. And, I mean, those are just the times we know the Lord protected us. But you know, a lot of times we get situations like this. Don't look at what the issue is. Look at the fact that you're taking the person to Jesus. Because who else is praying for them? You know, a lot of times I feel the Lord giving me a nudge, pray for so-and-so. And part of me goes, why? They're such a jerk. But the flip side is, who else is praying for them? And there comes a point in their life where they're going to need Jesus sooner or later. I mean, you can only be cocky for so long. You can only be healthy for so long. And then, you know, you're going to call in the name of the Lord, hopefully to be saved. But let's keep praying for people and not be overwhelmed with their symptoms, but rather see, okay, Lord, what can you do? What can you do? And let's see what God's going to do, okay? All right, let's take some other notes, praise, prayer requests. Becca.
Yeah.
What's your first name?
Skill testing question, Kaylee.
Kaylee?
Yeah. It's been a long week.
All right. Well, we'll pray. I think that's really neat. It's really neat. Okay. Susan. Way to go. Terrific. She monster mashed her back. Is that what she? Is it? All right, Irmgard, we will pray for your back. All right, anyone else? How many of you say the biggest issue of life is other people? It's people, isn't it? I mean, when's the last time a telephone pole hurt you? You know, and I think we need to pray because sometimes we need real patience because some people are just, where are they coming from? We don't know. So, Kathy, we will pray for all the people. Yeah, well, then that's and we do get to a point. We're human. But, yeah, we'll pray the Lord knows and get you out of wherever he has to move you. Yeah. Okay, Irmgard, did I see your hand? So when's the next party? Because we're all in your bubble. We're all in your bubble. Once a month you're going to have it? Good. I want to see Bob Rafer doing the monster mash. I'd pay to see that.
You really don't
want to. Okay. Anything else we need to take the Lord, Norm?
American election is coming up in a few
Yes.
days.
Tuesday night.
Pray for that, the righteousness of rule.
Okay. We'll just pray. God wins. That's what I like. God wins. Carl?
I just want to tell you to remind people about, I have two younger brothers. They just turned 72 the other day. And my younger brother, Terry, one of the twins, is having right now, he's in hospital. He's had his third bout of cancer. And he had 20% of his left lung removed. He now has a sarcoma on his thigh.
Yeah.
So they're right now giving him 10 radiation treatments there.
Okay.
They can shrink it so they can then go in and cut it out. So he's by himself in Winnipeg, and just want to pray that he has He looks to the Lord. And whenever he gets in trouble, he calls me.
That's good. Well, hey, whatever works. Okay. And you'll see we've got some things. Phil, do we have them up here on this just the one screen? Okay, so we've got a couple of other things, and Ed, you want a prayer for your sister, for Ann, and Richard, your cousin found her son dead in his apartment just this week, so that's a tough thing. We need to pray for Wendy, and then Monica wishes she could be here, and Steve's in quite a bit of pain there as he's doing construction on his knee, so we'll pray for those things. All right, let's take a moment, let's stand, and let's just agree together as we pray this morning. Father, we just want to thank you for, again, being the Lord of our lives, and you do lead us in incredible ways. We've seen your timing in so many ways this week. Father, what we need to keep reminder is that you're in charge, because things around us can feel very overwhelming. We have family members that are so sick. We have deaths in our families or in families, friends, family friends. We've got situations of cancer and Crohn's, and the list goes on. And quite frankly, Father, sometimes it just seems very, very overwhelming. What's great to know is that nothing overwhelms you. You are aware of every single person on our prayer list this morning. You know what everybody is going through. You know what everybody needs. And we're simply standing in the authority of who we have under Jesus Christ, that he's interceding at the Father's right hand right now. And so we lift all of these people up to you, and we place them in your arms. Many of them we don't know. And yet by the same token, the knowledge is it's not about what we know, it's about what you know. And since you know everything, we have absolute confidence when we pray that you will work. And you're working in situations that sometimes are long-term. Sometimes we get very discouraged when it comes to people coming to Christ or situations of healing. Whatever the case may be, Lord, we are going to trust you more than ever this week that you will do what it is you want to do, that you might receive the honor and the glory and the praise. And Father, we'd love to hear good reports. And so, Lord, keep us attentive to what is going on and keep us aware of what you're doing. And so, Father, thank you again for another day. Thank you for each and every one that was able to be out this morning. And, Lord, there are many that wanted to be here today, but for quite a number of reasons couldn't worship with us. Those on YouTube, Lord, would you bless them as well? And, Father, as we continue to study your word this day, that you would continue to bring us a great sense of peace, but also out of that, a great sense of hope. Our God is a great God. Our God is a mighty God. Our God runs the world. Our God runs a universe. With God, our God, nothing is impossible. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated, and we have special men. The elderly brothers are going to sing for us now, so get ready, kids. Here they come.
Yes, for those of you who don't know us, we are the elderly brothers. Don on my left, Bob beside me, my buddy Ted on my right. They're the elderly brothers. I'm the puppy. Just remember that. Okay? This song goes way back. And it really, really says how we feel today. Even though our voices, first time we've come together in a few months, so our voices are straining because we're the elderly brothers. Okay, Donna?
Well, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with joy in my soul, 'cause I knew my Lord had control. Well, I knew I was walking in the light, 'cause I'd been on my knees in the night. And I prayed till the Lord gave a sign, and now I'm feeling mighty fine. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got heaven on my mind. Know I want to go where the milk and honey flow. There's a light that always shines down inside this heart of mine. I got heaven on my mind, and now I'm feeling mighty fine. I've been walking with Jesus all the time, talking as we climb. We're traveling a road to the sky, where I know I live when I die. He's been telling me all about that land, and he tells me that everything is grand. And he says that a home will be mine, and now I'm feeling mighty fine. Feeling mighty fine. I've got heaven on my mind. Don't you know I want to go where the milk and honey flow. There's a light that always shines down inside this heart of mine. I've got heaven on my mind, and now I'm feeling mighty fine. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I got heaven on my mind. Don't you know I want to go where the milk and honey flow. There's a light that always shines down inside this heart of mine. I got heaven on my mind, and now I'm feeling mighty fine.
Say, come on back next week, will you? Let's do Pout 2 next week. What do you say?
Let's talk about the contract, will you?
Time for God. Well, I've been reading the Old Testament prophets, and if you want something to put you to sleep, read them. I mean, Isaiah's pretty good. Daniel's pretty good. But by the time you get to Jeremiah, Ezekiel, then you get to all the minor prophets. By the time you get to Hosea and you're into Haggai and you're into Zephaniah and Zechariah, just to mention a few, it's like, oh my goodness. But they're all about saying the same thing. And the issue boils down to the fact that a nation called under God are deciding to do everything but worship Him. They are actually more pagan than the pagan nations they conquered. And so if you read through these books, and time after time after time, the different prophets are trying to give the nation a shake, and it starts with the leaders. Everything starts with leadership, because it's all about authority. Spiritual leaders and civic authorities. And so I've got a couple of things here, and you'll notice this. I'm going to start with Zephaniah, and he wrote about 640 BC. And this is what he said. Woe to her who is rebellious and defiled the oppressing city. Now, who's the oppressing city? In Israel, who's the oppressing city? Skill testing question. Jerusalem, okay? Jerusalem is the it. She listens to no voice. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord, nor does she draw near to God. Her officials within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave nothing till the morning. Her prophets are fickle, treacherous men. Her priests profane what is holy. They do violence to the law. The Lord within her is righteous. He does no injustice. And every morning he shows forth his justice. Each dawn he does not fail, but the unjust knows no shame. Do you think that's crystal clear? I think it's crystal clear. And then 100 years earlier, and again, when we think of God sending out his word, God didn't give them 5 minutes to repent. He gave them like 700 years to repent. And people say God's a God of wrath. I think God's got incredible patience. Kathy wants more of it. She's going to the very one who knows patience. Our God is incredibly patient. And so back in 730 BC, here's what Micah says. I said, you heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, it is not for you to know justice. You who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin off from off you, my people, and their flesh from off my bones, who eat the flesh of my people, who flay their skin from off them, and break their bones in pieces and chop them up like meat in a pot, like flesh in a cauldron. Does that not sound graphic? But literally, the leadership were chewing people alive spiritually. They were taking advantage of them in every way, and God said, you're actually chewing their flesh. You're like cannibals to my people. And he goes on to say, they will cry to the Lord, you people, and I'm not going to answer. He will not answer them. He will hide his face from them at that time because they have made their deeds evil. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against him who puts nothing into their mouths. And he goes on in verse 9 of Micah 3 to say the following. Hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and the rulers of the house of Israel. Who's he talking to? The leaders, the spiritual leaders, those who've been in authority over the people for their good. Those of you who detest justice and make crooked all that is straight, who build Zion with the blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Its heads give judgment for a bribe. Its priests teach for a price. Its prophets practice divinations for money. And yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord in the midst of us? No disaster shall come upon us. Wow. Can you imagine if somebody started talking to us like that today? We'd drive them out of town. What was interesting in all of these minor prophets, when you read their story, whether it's from 750 BC, 640 BC, 620 BC, you know what happens after every one of them speak? Nothing. Nobody does anything, it appears. Nobody falls on their knees. Nobody asks for repentance. The leadership doesn't fall on their knees before God and ask for them to cleanse them. And yet he continues to consistently go, you cannot sin against me and get away with it. You can't. Year after year, that was proclaimed, one man after the other. And so what it comes down to is God basically said, and we saw this with Noah, he said, I'm going to build a boat, you're going to get in it, and I'm going to do what? I'm wiping everybody out. Everybody's off the face. This is my earth, and if they won't follow me, they're gone. Well, what do you think he was doing by the time of Micah and Naaman and all these fellas? Same thing. If you're not going to follow me, I'm going to even destroy the temple in Jerusalem. In other words, the place where you should come to worship, If it gets taken down, it gets taken down because the greatest thing I want is for you to love and serve and obey me and not get caught up with all the things of the world. Boy, I don't know about you, but that sounds like 2020. There's a lot of people, they're doing everything they can and buying everything they can. And I'll tell you, the street I live on, I think Purolator, Canpar, and Amazon Direct, and the guys, I've never seen so many people delivering packages as since this COVID. It's like store on wheels. Everybody's buying whatever, and here and there, and everybody is focused on what? Their physical needs, their food needs, and what about spiritual needs? I briefly alluded that to you a couple of weeks ago. Where is the importance of spiritual needs? And so in verse 12, Micah says this, "Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and a mountain of the house of a wooded height." Now, let's back this up for a minute. The focal point for the Jews was Jerusalem, the temple in Jerusalem. Everything revolved around getting to Jerusalem. I mentioned to the group on Thursday night that the gold plating on the outside of the walls and the ceiling of the dome could be seen for 40 miles. And what does Micah say? You know what? It's going to all get plowed under. So here's interesting. Did you know that Jerusalem got destroyed 3 times? First time was under Nebuchadnezzar. Here we go. Little history lesson, boys and girls. Listen up. Here we go. You ready? I know some of you don't like history. Too bad. I'm going to share it anyway. First one, Nebuchadnezzar lays siege of Jerusalem in 589 BC and took all the Jews captive to where? For how long?
70 years.
Then they all came back with Nehemiah and Ezra, and they rebuilt the walls. And then the next one came in 70 AD, and the Romans came and conquered it. And then Jerusalem was destroyed again in 135 AD because there had been a Jewish rebellion, and so the Romans came back to Jerusalem to overthrow it. But I want to talk to you about the second time because this is really important. Remember what Jesus said when the disciples and he were walking from the Temple Mount. And you, if you don't remember, it's in Matthew 24. And it goes like this. And you'll see that above. He left the temple and was going away, and his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. What were they saying? Oh, look, Lord, it's fantastic. It's magnificent. And he replied, "Not, I see all these. Do you not? Truly, I say to you, there will be not left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Okay, so Micah, 640 BC, 750 BC. Zechariah, Zephaniah, they're all in about 740 or 640, 620 BC, and they're all saying the same thing. What? Jerusalem's going to be destroyed unless you what? Get your act together and repent and come back to the Lord. So Jesus said, it's going to be destroyed. And 40 years after he left the earth, what happened? The Jews were there. The Romans arrived. The Romans decided to set Jerusalem on fire. And as soon as they set it on fire, what do you think happened to all the gold?
Melted.
Everything melted, and it ran down all the cracks in the rocks. And what do you think the Roman soldiers did? They did whatever they could to dig it out. In that time, and I don't know if you're aware of this, more than 1.5 million people died. Not counting all those who were taken into slavery. 1.5 million people. We're not talking 10 or 20. Now, here's what's interesting. When the Romans, they had a formula. And I don't know, Richard, if you'll put that up for us, please. The Romans had a formula. And here was the formula. If they wanted to start a city, they would put a plow in the ground, and they would plow out the parameters, okay, with oxen and a plow. And what would happen is that if they decided to unmake a city, they literally took a plow and oxen, and they plowed it all under. Now, what's fascinating here, when I've done my research on this, is that after the Romans burned Jerusalem in 70 A.D., they literally called the city a funeral pile. The whole thing was, the stones were all blackened, everything that was wood had burned, and the Romans had gone and tried to consider wherever they could get the gold, and they decided that part of it was they were going to unmake Jerusalem. Do you get what I'm saying? The intention was, we're going to plow it under. And so their formula was, a city built with a plow is built with a plow overflowing. The city that is plowed is forfeiting all civil rights, and it's literally counted as ceased to be. So if you plow something over, it's like it never happened. Is that kind of like rewriting history? Pull down the monuments. Kind of interesting, isn't it? So what happened is that Jerusalem was going to be, in the Romans' mind, a city that ceased to be. So here's the rest of the story. In 70 AD, a Roman officer by the name of Turnus Rufus plowed the whole temple area looking for what? Any remaining gold. So he got oxen and teams and had people go over the entire area where the temple had been looking for hidden gold. And that happened on the ninth day of the month of the Jewish month of Ab. And what's interesting is the Jews still celebrate that moment with a day of fasting to this day. Bet you didn't know that. And what was interesting after all of this is that the current emperor, Hadrian, remember Hadrian's Wall in England? Hadrian decided that he was going to build a new city where Jerusalem had been, and he was going to name it after himself, and it was going to be a nation where worship of God would not be included, but the worship of Jupiter would be put on the site of the temple. That was his plan. And also, no Jew was going to be allowed to come into this new Jerusalem. He didn't call it a new Jerusalem, but he was going to call it based on his own name. And so what happened was, in order to prepare for that moment, the Romans actually minted coins that had motifs of people plowing on it because they were going to be the new currency for the new city. And what did Micah say? It's going to be literally plowed under. God's word comes to pass. I read that the other week, and I just sat back in my chair, and I was stunned. You know, you think you've read Scripture. You think you know Scripture somewhat. And I read that, and I realized, man, oh man, when God says something's going to be done, God does it to the extent of what he actually says, down to every detail. Jesus was right. There wasn't one stone, what? Left standing. What did that do for me? It increased my sense of belief. If God's in charge like that, what is God not in charge of? God's in charge of everything. And God will give justice. And God will bring his plan into fruition in this earth. And so, I thought it's back to the basics. If people will serve God through Jesus, and they will love him, and they will ask for forgiveness, what's he going to do? Plow them under? Not in your life. God will what? In every sense, bless us, restore us, heal us, raise us up, encourage us, strengthen our faith, whatever it takes, because he's our Father who loves us. And these people failed to realize that they had a God who loved them more than anything else in the whole world. And so now as we conclude, I want to look at what Micah said, because now Micah flips it after talking about what happened in Jerusalem, and he offers words of hope. He says there's actually hope here. And he says in Micah 4, 1 and 2, the following. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and the people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God, of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from, what's the last word? Jerusalem. So even through all the discipline, God's going to still restore. And then he goes on to say in verse 7 the following. And the lame I will make the remnant, and those who are cast off a strong nation, the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time forth and forevermore. God will still be God. So I took that and I said, Lord, you're doing amazing things. And then I looked at Zechariah, and I want to throw this one out at you, because Zechariah wrote about 20 years after Zephaniah. And so Haggai was writing. They were all writing at the same time. And this is what Zephaniah said, Zechariah said, on that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mountain shall move northward and the other half southward. What is that saying? The Lord's coming back to stand where Jerusalem is and where the Mount of Olives is. Are you with me? And what's fascinating, and let's take one more verse if we could. Do we have another one? Do we have verse 9? And the Lord will be king over all the earth, and that day the Lord will be one and his name one. Now, think about this for a minute. What Micah and Zechariah are now saying is that when the Lord returns, he will what? Stand in Jerusalem. But they're writing 500 years before the Lord came as a babe in the manger. Like, do you get this? They're actually saying, we're telling you, the Lord has prophesied that his Messiah is going to return to the earth after he comes the first time. I don't know if you can get your head around that one, but that is incredible to think the Lord did a double prophetic word. That the Lord is I'm going to return to the earth. And so Revelation 20, I think, is very clear. Revelation 21-5 says the following. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until what? 1,000 years were ended, and after that he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and seated on them were those who had the authority to judge, was committed, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and not received its mark on their foreheads, they came to life. What's the next line? Somebody read it for me. And they did what? And reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Where? Here. And Micah is saying, the Lord's going to return. Zechariah says, the Lord's going to return. And guess what? The believers are going to reign for 1,000 years because Jerusalem's going to be back in the spot it should be. And the rest of the dead did not come to life until after the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Family, I don't know about you, but I'm getting really excited. I'm getting really excited because when God's got a plan, God's going to carry it out. And the amazing thing is he had a plan for an entire nation. If you don't want to worship me, well, not only will I discipline you, but now I'm going to send my son, and I already know you're going to put him to death, but I'm still going to send him. He's going to be willing to die. Then I'm going to resurrect him from the dead. He's going to sit at the right hand, intercede. Then he's going to come back and reign for 1,000 years with anybody who by then wants to believe in him. I don't know about you, but this is better than TV. This is going to be really exciting. And so I want you this week, as we head into this week, to get another great sense of belief. What we started last week about what we believe, I want you to be excited about what amazing thing God does. And God works in the most intimate details, and he works in the biggest spectrum. You know what? God's not worried about our country and who's in leadership of this country. And God's not worried who's in the leadership down south. And God's not worried about who's in leadership in any other country. God will be God and do what God wants to do. Our job is to what? Obey him and love him and keep close to him and tell others about him when we get an opportunity. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure the Jews were thrilled. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. I mean, after you've seen the Jerusalem destroyed and the temple gone, and you suddenly can come back to worship, don't you think they were excited? It's going to be the same as when we all get together and we don't have to wear masks and we can hug each other and have hospitality again. What a day of rejoicing that will be. All right? So I want to encourage you. And I asked you a question last week. I'm going to ask you the same question this week. Where do you want your belief in this great God and King to take you this week? Dream big and reach out in his love to those who are around you. Are you with me? Okay. I want to sing two songs as we conclude this morning, and I think it's just fitting that, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm so excited. And the first song is, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." How many of you know that song? It's an oldie. It's now back to 1971. Some of you may not were even born then, but do you remember this one? Come on, stand up. We're going to sing this together. If you don't know it, we're going to sing it, and then you'll know the second song. Here we go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall therefore end be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. This is out of Psalm 34. Okay, Donna, give us a key. Let's do it again. Don't look at me funny. Let's just do it. Hang on. Come on, girl. We're on YouTube. This is live television, almost. Let's do it again. Ready? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall evermore be filled. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever. I sought the Lord, and he heard. Thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, lead us this week. And we have absolute confidence that you know what you're doing. And we will trust you. That's right, Lord, you do. And so we bless you with a heart of thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen. Bless the Lord.